Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's really going to come down to what he prefers and what he wants, as there are several teams, including the New England Patriots, who are interested in DeAndre Hopkins. And we're going to see over the next few weeks Hopkins taking visits with different teams, Brian, and he's going to make a decision on what's best for him.
That's Diana Rossini yesterday.
She kind of sounds like Trini there.
You know what? A little bit.
When you first started playing it, I was like, is this early edition? And then I was like, oh, no, it's the Rossini.
That was not Trini Casey, nay Kuznarek. That was Diana Rossini, and she was talking about DeAndre Hopkins and the Patriots as a team with interest. There's interest, Mego. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, celebrating Truck Month featuring F-Series, America's best-selling trucks. For 46 years, get great deals on trucks in stock and ready for immediate delivery. The Patriots should be interested in Hopkins, I think.
Says there are several teams, including the New England Patriots,
what a jerk who are face. Interested in... I kind of hear it.
Yeah.
It's like voice twins.
Yeah.
Just in that clip. I don't think she usually does.
I hadn't even thought of that before.
It's time now for Lou and I to hit a walk-off.
Who are interested in DeAndre Hopkins? And we're going to see over the next few weeks.
I hear it, for sure.
Should we put a disclaimer on this conversation, though, citing Diana? Because she hasn't always been awesome with her sourcing as related to Patriots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is really just a rumor. The Patriots are interested. It's the only team she named. A lot of teams, including the New England Patriots, are interested. The Patriots should be interested. There's been rumors flying around about a potential visit with the team. The only thing that has me sort of not charging full on ahead into the DeAndre Hopkins business, Mego, is the reporting from Burt Breer, which has been going on for a while now, before he even got released, when he was a trade target and there were teams looking to trade for him. Breer's been on this the entire time, and he basically said Hopkins, his heels are completely shot. He doesn't practice. He can barely run. He can still catch the ball. He can still jump, but like he can't run anymore, and he doesn't go to practice, and that's really turned a lot of teams off, not to mention the fact he's a big personality, and not to mention the fact the Patriots just so happen to have an offensive coordinator who compared him to Aaron Hernandez. So other than that, I think it makes a ton of sense, and I think it's a great move, but I'll tell you, like, there's a lot of things that at the very least, if they're not giant red flags, they're pretty big.
Yeah, I think it's notable. I came across this reporting today from The Athletic about DeAndre Hopkins. It's looking unlikely that he's going to have a deal with the Bills, which either way you slice it is probably good for the Patriots that he's not going to the Bills.
Sure.
They cite in this article.
Unless
The Athletic,
he was going to blow it, ruin the team.
Yeah, exactly. I said most cases. The reporter here writes, three executives from around the NFL, some with direct knowledge of what the free agent receiver wants in his next contract, informed The Athletic the Bills simply do not have enough salary cap room to accommodate Hopkins' terms. Basically, he's looking for something reportedly around the ballpark of what OBJ got going to the Ravens, which is a 1-year deal worth 15 guaranteed plus another $3 million in incentives. The executives acknowledged Hopkins loves game day, who doesn't, but expressed concern over his practice habits. He was suspended 6 games last year for violating the policy on performance enhancing substances and missed 2 more games with a sore knee. All 3 NFL executives told The Athletic they would be cautious about taking on a big personality about to turn 31. Two organizations have unloaded the superstar talent already. 3 years ago, the Houston Texans traded him and a fourth-round draft choice to the Cardinals for running back David Johnson, plus second and fourth-round draft choices. So he comes with a lot of potential baggage, a big personality, and not only big personality, but he has his own baggage and he has his own personal history with your squeaky clean Bill O'Brien offensive coordinator, who seems to be working like part-time as a therapist, repairing whatever happened on the offense between the players and the coaches last year. So even from my perspective, just in terms of the locker room dynamics and some of that stuff, sometimes sounds a little soft. But with where this team is talking about trust and everything, throwing DeAndre Hopkins into the mix, somebody who's going to want $15 million, somebody who's going to want a lot of targets, and somebody who has skills that are maybe redundant in the passing pass catching game to Hunter Henry, to more so to DeVante Parker, none of it really totally clicks to me.
Yeah, but forget DeVante Parker. If you have DeAndre Hopkins, you forget DeVante, right? I mean, like, isn't that sort of what you do?
Well, I don't know. I'm scared because at least DeVante Parker can kind of run.
He can, but like, he got hurt. You know, he gets hurt a lot.
He's not a speedy guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I sort of see what you're saying, and I don't know what Hopkins looks like. The bigger problem, I think, is that he doesn't practice. Hopkins doesn't practice? Like, you need to practice with this offense. A new offense. I know you know the coordinator. You don't know the quarterback, and you don't really know anything else. Like, you've played in Arizona and you played in Houston, and that's it. And I don't know. I mean, I think that if you're talking about a guy who's going to be a difference maker on the offense, the Patriots don't have the type of team and the type of system that you can just slide right in without practicing. I just don't say, unless you're Antonio Brown, and even that didn't last.
Okay,
he went to practice.
What if you're Juju Smith-Schuster?
I mean, he'll practice eventually. Like,
yeah, he will.
As soon as he shows up to OTAs.
Like, it does make me think, though, because when we were talking to Tom Curran yesterday about what would prohibit the Patriots from picking up DeAndre Hopkins, or, you know, what's kind of keeping teams from looking at DeAndre Hopkins, he referenced the timing, right?
Yeah.
Do we have that clip, Brian?
Yeah, one sec.
Okay. Just real quick, the highest paid wide receivers, $15 million doesn't really crack it. You know, you're talking Tyreek Hill makes 30, Adams makes 28, Cooper Kupp makes 27, AJ Brown 25, Diggs 24. You know, like, there's guys making a lot more money than the 15 plus 3 in incentives, which who knows if we'll even hit them, but, you know, 18 million and 15, I don't know. I don't really feel like 15 million is a back-breaking sum, but here's that clip.
The timing might not be great. Teams are getting into this period of time where, you know, at post-draft, they've crafted what they're going to be, who they're going to be, and how they're going to do things. I think part of the reason that Arizona finally said, all right, we got to move on from this, is, you know, they're trying to team build as well, and having the DeAndre Hopkins specter hanging over the organization, they'd be better with him than without him. They had to move on from it. So I think that he'll land somewhere, but when he does land, it'll probably be for less than he expects, and with a team that has a serious chance of being a Final Four team.
Just real quick, I do think it's funny that the Patriots now are worried about timing, when 2 years ago they signed Cam Newton in July.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, now, that was the quarterback too, not the wide receiver. That was the guy who's going to take every snap and start every play, and you signed him on the 4th of July 2 years ago, which is unbelievable. So that's a little funny, you know, now all of a sudden timing's a big problem, and I don't mean to rip on Tommy or anything as his report, but I just think it's funny that the Patriots now suddenly care about the timing of everything.
Yeah, it is notable that the Patriots, as of today, and I do think this incorporates Devin McCourty's retirement, basically his contract, his retirement freeing up a little cap money. The team's cap space right now is about $14.1 million. So that is very easy to...
That's without McCourty's money? Or
no, I think that's including McCourty's money. I'm looking at over the cap right now. This stuff, honestly, sometimes it goes over my head a little bit at this time of year, because we're literally talking about pre and post June 1st and how much money moves over after that. But it does say 14.1. So assuming that has McCourty's retirement cap money in there, that is a number that you could definitely massage. You can definitely make work to get him in here at that price.
You can find $4 million.
When have the Patriots ever wanted to pay an aging player who has an injury history to come in that much.
Yeah.
Like, they like a distressed asset, and
they
that's what
for
he
Moss.
Is.
I mean, that's, you know, but, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's,
but this
that was
a
long
this
time ago.
Still too. A kind of expensive distressed
they
asset.
They also like those guys usually around the end of the year when they're getting ready for a big playoff run, too, see James Harrison and Steven Jackson, where they know they can get those guys for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, I don't think Hopkins will last that long out there.
And they went and got Josh Gordon.
That's true.
What, like 5 years ago?
Yeah. The most distressed of assets, of course.
Right, because he was so...
Get more distressed than him.
Yeah, but because he was so cheap, it was kind of like, why not? So, I don't know. I just... In some sides of it, I see how you could make it work. You can definitely make the money work. You can definitely move off of guys like Devontae Parker or... A Hunter Henry, although some of the reporting that I saw coming out of the one day of OTAs that the media could be at is that they are very married to this double tight end system. So I wouldn't really see that in terms of a pass catcher.
Well, it's worked out so great the last couple of years. I don't know why it wouldn't.
Well, I guess they're bullish on it with Bill O'Brien and having these two tight ends.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who are essentially the same guy.
So despite all of the litany of issues that's going on with DeAndre Hopkins right now, you guys still think that the Patriots should absolutely be in on bringing D-Hop in?
I'm not. I'm actually not. Just because of some of the history that he has. I think with Bill O'Brien, and I know that sounds soft, I feel like this offense is in a delicate place that they shouldn't be. An NFL team should be above that. But I look at the dysfunction that it sometimes still creeps into this organization, and I'm like, who needs it? If he's a discounted guy, like super discounted, then it's a different conversation. But right now, I'm a no.
I'm a yeah. I still would do it just because, you know, there's nobody else, unless you want to take a flyer on, like, Julio Jones or something. Like, there's nobody else out there that's worth trying to bring in. And I'm still not in love with this wide receiver room. I'm not a believer in Tyquan Thornton. I'm not sure exactly what to make of Juju Smith-Schuster. I thought he was good with Patrick Mahomes. They won the Super Bowl, obviously, but it wasn't because of him. And if that's the best he can do, he didn't even crack 1,000 yards with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do with Mac Jones? And I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're going to find someone shaking loose better than DeAndre Hopkins to take a flyer on. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I don't think it not working is going to tank anything that would have been better if he wasn't there. You know, like if it doesn't work, you cut him, you move on, you owe some money, fine. I'm okay with that. I can live with that. I can live with taking that chance.
How about the big personality stuff? The possibility of poisoning the well.
Oh, God forbid someone on the Patriots has a big personality. Like, who cares? 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. I'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue with the DeAndre Hopkins topic as well as the Patriots offense in general. Tommy Curran, I heard him last night on TV, bullish on this offense. Bullish on it. Completely dismissive of any possible idea that the offense isn't going to not just get back on track, but be very, very good this year. So we'll discuss that. We'll get to your phones as well at 617-779-7937. Hold on if you're on hold, and we'll get to you right after trending here with Ryan Garvin.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Breaking down the questions you need answers to.
Why are there so many Batman? Why is there so so much incest.
You are listening to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Do you have any idea, any sense of the shape of this offense compared to last year and maybe compared to the offense that we saw Josh McDaniels run with Mac Jones?
Just judging by what we watched yesterday, it was a lot of short, quick, underneath passing, a lot of out-of-the-backfield throws to the backs. Ty Montgomery was featured a ton. Kendrick Bourne was featured a ton. Tyquan Thornton. You know, there were shot plays in there, too, but it was very much oriented toward getting the ball out quickly, crisply, and moving it downfield. And the runs that we saw at this time last year, we were starting to see some of the wide zone Shanahan stuff that they were putting in. They smashed their head against the cinder block wall for the ensuing 5 months. We didn't see any of that yesterday. We saw when they did do run fits, and it's not full contact, it was gap runs, you know, the duo stuff, the up the middle stuff that they're good at.
Tommy Kern with us yesterday, answering Mego's question about the offense. Kern was also on with Felger and Holly last night, and he was bullish on the Patriots offense and the shape of it compared to last year. Now, I think anybody who watched last year's Patriots probably would assume that couldn't get much worse than it was last year. It's Christian R. Kim, Megan Ottolini here. We're live at Fenway in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. They're celebrating Truck Month, featuring F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, for 46 years. Get great deals on trucks in stock and ready for immediate delivery. We'll get to some phone calls here in just a minute, and we may have some developing news here on the Red Sox and Chris Sale, which we'll get to as soon as we have a little bit more information. We got a bit of an update from Alex Cora, but not enough that I want to break in yet. What do you think about the shape of the offense compared to last year? And I don't just mean, you know, no more Beavis and Butthead running the show, but the offense, the players, the scheme, the abilities of these players, like where do you think that they sort of rest? Because that's really what it's about to me. Not so much even. It's good that Bill O'Brien's here, and it's good that they're going to have some direction. But I wonder if people are substituting that for talent and ability.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It certainly feels that way. And I love that Kern is bullish on the Patriots. I love hearing that. I just look at the team itself and I go, is this just a reaction to having a functional system in place? I don't even mean like a system like the schemes that you're drawing up, but like having a function, as he put it, like normal, a quarterback who is not fighting for his position, it seems like, at least right now, mm-hmm. is not in competition for his position to start, is not a rookie, is not some guy that you picked up on the 4th of July weekend to come in here and start week one, that you have a real offensive coordinator, like all these things. It's more indicative to me of how far the standards have fallen, you know?
Yeah.
That we look at this and I feel good about this team because this is a professional operation with a quarterback who's taken snaps before. And it's like, well, okay, you know what? The rest of the division has a lot more going for them than that. At least where we sit today, who knows what will happen by the time we're in September. But it's all about the division to me. And I have a harder time sitting here and going, I feel really good about the Patriots in their own division when the things that we're heralding are, wow, very professional coordinator. Mac Jones seems happy again.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that we're supposed to be excited about?
Yeah, when you're going up against a Hall of Fame quarterback, all-pro wide receivers, and all-pro quarterback and wide receivers in Buffalo. I mean, like that, you know, like...
And
that,
it's not just Buffalo. It's Miami.
Right.
It's Aaron Rodgers on the Jets.
That's who I was referencing just then. But yes, that's what I mean. And I think that's, you know, listen, it's good to be back up on the beam. And I think that's where they are. And I think that's where Bill O'Brien will take
it. What is that, like a gymnast?
Yeah, you know, like they're back up on the beam. They fell off the beam and now they're sort of back up on the beam.
Yeah, but then the routine's already ruined.
Is this an egg back in the eggshell kind of thing?
I'm trying to figure it
out. Never heard this
one. I'm just saying.
Talking like Dominique Dawes falling off in the Olympics.
Yeah, something like, is she the one who fell off?
Yeah. I mean, they all fall off at times.
I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
Who's the one who had the yips and she couldn't flip? What's her name? The girl who won everything?
Ooh, Simone.
Simone Biles. Yeah.
She had the twisties.
Got to get back on the beam, I guess, is the point here. And
I'm
Patriots
not sure you
offense.
Can put the egg back in the shell.
I don't understand why you guys don't get that.
That's never
a great analogy.
Jones had a bigger problem with it than me. I just hadn't heard that one before.
He's just jealous.
Toothpaste back in the tube.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone could just say that one's played out.
Yeah. Now we're on to eggs.
Expanding my analogy.
It's beautiful. You're creating new language.
That's right. With DeAndre Hopkins in particular, I mean, you know, if you're so bullish on the offense and you think that the offense is going to be so good, then you wouldn't want to spend an extra $15 million on a potentially banged up guy who's going to have a big personality and maybe clash with the offensive coordinator. And if you're bullish on O'Brien and the offense and what he brings to it, then you don't want DeAndre Hopkins. You don't want that problem there because those guys are oil and water. You know, you wouldn't want to have that. So I don't know. I mean, if you really feel that good about the offense to the point where you're all set with not bringing in a talent like Hopkins on an offense that's not super talented. I'm sorry. It's just not. I mean, I think there's some players there who might have breakout seasons, maybe, but outside of Stevenson, I'm not really sure there's anybody else. I don't know who any pass catchers are. Gesicki, maybe. I don't know. But, like, that's talent. That's prestige. That's, you know, a guy who's been out there and performed at the highest level before. Maybe he's got nothing left in the tank. If he doesn't, then you screwed up and you have to deal with it. But I sort of feel like at this point, it's worth trying. It's worth trying to do. And if the main reason not to do it is because Bill O'Brien brought you back up onto the band, it's a lot of bees there, then I don't know. That sort of makes me rethink all this.
Yeah, it's not just the Bill O'Brien piece to me. I'm definitely a little wary of the reports that we referenced, that we read some of them a couple minutes ago. Albert Breer and then The Athletic talking about D-Hop's attraction to Buffalo as right. well. It seems very mysterious what his physical condition is at this point. And so that's a bigger deal to me, is it's great to have this highly accomplished, extremely talented guy, but if he can't do the job,
yeah,
obviously I don't even want to kick the tires on it. If that's, now who knows? That may be somebody else's camp out there doing something pervasive or something. I don't know. But it's definitely raises an eyebrow.
Why haven't the Ravens signed him yet? Like the Ravens,
they have OBJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got their retread receiver.
They still have cap space, and that's the only wide receiver they have. They could easily go out and sign Hopkins still, you know, if they wanted to. I don't know. I mean, there's other teams out there. I'm concerned that he hasn't been picked up at all.
Yeah,
and
that's
the other
thing.
It seems like the market's very cold. And if the market's cold in a wide receiver needy league for a guy who's been on two teams already, you know, like, it's just, there's a lot we don't know. And I feel like it's the stuff that people in NFL circles know. And the people in the NFL circles all seem to be, if not outright passing, very hesitant to get in the DeAndre Hopkins business.
It's a great point. If you think back to the draft, it wasn't the strongest wide receiver draft compared to recent years,
right?
The way that analysts were looking at it. And then also in the market, just in the free agent market, there wasn't a ton of options moving around, to the point that Jacoby Myers was pretty much the highest ranked free agent in the market, and you already had him, and you decided that Juju Smith-Schuster was a slight upgrade in your book.
Yeah.
So you would think that with him shaking loose, these other teams would come knocking already, but that spooks me a little bit.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's talk to Aiden, who is down in the great state of Pennsylvania. Hi, Aiden.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I'm a little confused why D-Hop's. I understand some sources are saying his practice issues, off-the-field issues. But, I mean, last year in 9 games, he had 64 receptions, 717 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was so good last year, and he didn't even have Kyler being his quarterback most of the time because Kyler got injured. So I guess I don't understand why he's getting this kind of bad rap right now. I get maybe it's off the field issues, but the last time we saw him, he was so good. And with
it was the roids. It was the roids, Aiden. That's why. I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, he had great numbers.
The numbers are just impressive. So I just want to point that out, that I really think the Patriots should take a shot, because Jacoby Myers, 804 yards last year, compared to Hopkins in 9 games, 717 yards. So that's it's an upgrade to everything we have.
9 games of DeAndre Hopkins. Thanks for the call, Aiden. Appreciate it. 9 games of DeAndre Hopkins was better than probably all the other wide receivers on the team put together.
Well, last year.
Last year, yeah.
Last year, I feel like it's even difficult. You're talking about the Patriots receivers.
Right.
So. Yeah, last year I feel like it's even difficult to compare. It would be a better comparison to 2021.
The Cardinals weren't any special team last year, you know. They were
No, but you were a disaster. You had one of the worst offenses in the league in terms of pass catching.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but you know, in terms of running an offense and getting all that going, they fired their coach, they fired the coordinator, like everybody's gone, Hopkins is gone. I don't know. It's this could be a real crossroads moment here for the Patriots. It really could. This could be a big crossroads
moment. DeAndre Hopkins?
For them. Yeah, I think so. Because if they decide, they're the only team that people are talking about is still really interested. And if they go in and they get him and he's good, think about the boost that could provide to Mac Jones. I mean, if he's DeAndre Hopkins that played with Deshaun Watson in Houston, or even, you know, the 9 games last year when he was roided out running around, whatever, and his ankles will hold up and he practices or whatever. Like, I feel like that's so tempting, you know? That's just so tempting in terms of bringing this offense back up to speed. You're not just on the beam with a good Hopkins. You're an offense. You're an offense to reckon with.
We're back on the beam.
We're back on the beam.
All right.
We're better than the beam, I think. Should we go ahead with this breaking news here?
Yes.
All right, let's go ahead. Here's some breaking news from the Red Sox.
Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, we got an update from Alex Cora regarding Chris Sale. We don't have an update on the shoulder injury. We don't know exactly what that is because while there was an MRI performed on Sale's shoulder this morning, they haven't gotten the results back. This has got to be a very old MRI machine, I would think. However, I can tell you this. Chris Sale will miss his next start, and a stint on the injured list is likely. Those are the words of Alex Cora. Sale will not make his next start, and he's likely to go onto the IL. Your thoughts, Mego?
It's expected. It makes me more worried that we still don't have any indication from the MRI. I mean, how quickly after just football games, for example, do guys get an MRI on their knee?
Is this like the first MRI machine ever?
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of x-rays, which are processed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But MRIs, if you're the Boston Red Sox, it just feels more like withholding information because they're trying to triple check what might be bad news. Like, more bad news than a stint on the IL.
It says here online on the internet that a radiologist will report to the doctor who arranged the scan. They'll discuss the results, and it takes 1 to 2 weeks for the scan to come through.
1 to 2 weeks?
Unless they're needed urgently.
I was going to say, read the last four words.
I'm like, are you talking about an MRI for people like you or me, or an MRI for the ace pitcher?
My insurance isn't all up to speed.
I see
right
no difference between the three.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how long these things take. I never had an MRI.
Were you reading this from drwagner.com, injury blog?
No, I was reading it from nhsinform.scot.
Okay.
I think, which is a Scottish
medical website. I was going to say, that's not our country.
I don't know
how long Scottish MRIs take, but that's not even our country.
I don't know either. I was
about
going
off
what
weeks,
you said. You said 45 minutes.
I thought it was
trusting you.
Here we go.
In Scotland, it takes months.
The results of an MRI scan are typically interpreted within 24 hours.
24 hours, okay.
Scans themselves are usually given immediately to the patient on a disc after they're taken. That's what I thought. Because I had one of these done on my hip a while ago when I was running.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of that story. That's
well, how long did it take?
I swear I got it like right away.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I get maybe it was just an x-ray. I can't remember.
I think that if there was good news in this MRI, like, yeah, it's just a sore shoulder. He'll make his next start. Yeah, he's probably not going on IL. And, yeah, it's probably fine. We'd know that. We'd hear that. Chaim Bloom might walk right through this door and tell us that himself. Right? Like, that's good news.
Do you see him coming?
That's something you want to spread around.
Is Chaim Bloom coming down the hall
I don't see Chaim Bloom coming.
That's not good.
These are near his seats, I think, out in the bleachers, right behind the
several questions, and a lot of them have to do with how long it takes an MRI to come back.
Chaim and I are buddies, by the way. We bonded at winter weekend.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it sounded like it.
What did you guys do?
We interviewed him. But
he was looking for a kind face after getting booed mercilessly by hundreds of drunken Red Sox fans.
Mm-hmm. You
gave
smiled
him a soft landing, yeah.
You smiled at him, and he was like, this is my friend.
I said, Chaim, it's not your fault, buddy, even though it kind of is. I said, not your fault. Don't worry about it. Everything's cool. They're all really mad at John Henry. They're not mad at you, which isn't really true. But I was just trying to make the guy feel better.
I'm on your side.
He had a tough winter weekend. Everybody, the whole brain trust did. Everybody except Alex Cora. Alex Cora went out there and was like, yeah, Alex, woo! Everyone else, I mean, they're throwing tomatoes at him. It was unbelievable. It was like the Blues Brothers in that country bar. They had to put up chicken wire to stop all the projectiles coming at him. It was rough. Anyway, there's your breaking news. Alex Cora says Chris Sale, though they don't know the extent of the injury to his shoulder, will miss his next start and is likely, not definitely, but likely to be going onto the IL. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number as we continue. Before we jump off the Patriots topic completely, did you happen to see what Connor Orr wrote for SI.com?
So you referenced it. Why don't you jump into it?
He had a list of 100 bold predictions for the upcoming season. And you
Oh,
we
love a bold prediction.
I love 100 bold predictions. Lay them all out. I want them one after another. I don't want to sit down until I've heard all 100.
So these are like truly bold. Like they're supposed to be outside the box, right?
Some of them are. Some of them I think are not very bold at all. Here's the first one. The first bold prediction is the Bengals will beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. Okay, is that really super bold? I don't know.
Kind of.
I guess.
Kind of bold. The next one is not even bold.
This next one is not a bold prediction
like,
at all.
This is just a predictable prediction.
I've had barbecue sauce that was bolder than this. Mark Andrews will be the Ravens' leading receiver.
Oh, really?
Two. You think? Wow.
Wow.
You don't think OBJ and his gimpy knee is going to be able to out-produce Mark Andrews? Maybe the second best tight end in the league, if not the first? That's weird. Very weird. And then there's number three, and this is generally a bold prediction. There's no barbecue sauce that can catch. By the way, quick question, side note. How can a barbecue sauce be bold?
What do you mean? It's very flavorful.
Well, how is that bold?
Like it's spicy.
Doesn't bold mean like courageous? Or like how can a sauce
I think
be
it
bold?
Just means like it's strong. You know,
barbecue sauce has bold. Conviction.
Exactly.
I guess.
Yeah.
This barbecue sauce is willing to step out on a ledge that might not
it's
be
It's only
too
barbecue
popular.
Sauce that they call bold. They don't call condiments. Any other food bold. No one calls mustard bold. No one calls relish bold. Only barbecue sauce. Why is that?
I'm
Why is barbecue
zesty,
sauce bold?
Frankly.
I don't understand that. I've never
What
understood.
About hot sauce?
Bold hot sauce?
Hot sauce is bold. That's
I guess,
bold
yeah, I guess there's
sauce.
Bold hot sauce. Now, only certain things can be bold, I guess. All right, anyway, here's a real bold take. Not like barbecue sauce, like for real. The Patriots will win the AFC East, Connor Orr writes. And this is his third bold prediction. He writes, Bill O'Brien is back carrying a new bag of tricks from his Alabama getaway. The offense can sensibly grind out games against or behind a brilliant defense. And you'll ask, but what about the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills? My thought is that this division may end up collapsing in on itself a little bit. A lot of heavyweight punchers here, each of which have some very talented but fatal flaws. The Dolphins, for example, are going to have a tough time not burning themselves out. The Bills are dependent on reinventing themselves around an intentionally less mobile Josh Allen, and the Jets' title hopes rest on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers, who may be great and newly motivated, but he's also flirting with age 40 and maybe starting to show it. All of those things may be true. All of those things may be completely right.
They're like nice problems to have,
though.
The
Patriots are still the fourth best team out of all of them, even if all that stuff is exactly how he writes it.
Also, like,
hey,
come on. These issues is like they have to reinvent themselves around one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
He's not going
to
be running as much. Like, oh, no, right. He's going to be throwing
And
more.
Then another team, all their hopes rest on the shoulders of another one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Of a Hall of Famer
Glad
who changed
I don't have
teams.
Your problems.
Like Peyton yeah. Manning when he went to the Broncos
the Dolphins
won
are,
the Super Bowl.
The Dolphins are going to burn out. Wow, have you heard their coach?
I had gotten convicted information that it was the first.
Of course yeah. They're going to burn out.
It's bro. Like when you walk into a mansion.
I was burned out in OTAs, bro.
Like you walk into a mansion and you're like, God, it must cost so much to heat this place.
Yeah.
Air conditioning bill. I wouldn't want to live here. The air conditioning bill.
That Aaron Rodgers bill. Oof, boy, that's a lot. No, I'm fine with my 7-win team. All right, there you go. Some bold predictions and some breaking news related
Wait,
to
do
the
you wanna, do you want to take this?
Boston Red Sox. Sure.
Do you see this? Why not?
Let's go ahead and,
I love an
and take this.
I love an expert opinion.
Brian is in New Hampshire. Brian claims to work in orthopedics, and he knows that Chris Sale's MRI is in, Brian. We don't have any way to verify this, but we'll just trust you when you say you work in orthopedics. What's your take on Sale here? Brian?
Yes, I'm not a surgeon. Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Yes.
All right.
Now, no, we can't. All right, why don't you find the better phone connection? We'll
Dang.
Pop you on hold.
I thought Brian was going to spill the tea.
And maybe we'll jump back and get some more info on Chris Sale and his MRI. We don't know the results yet. We know that he's going to miss a start and probably going to go to the IL. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. When we come back, Megan Adelina will do some Meg-splaining.
From the Ruben
Feinstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
That's a good-looking group right there. I like that row, don't you?
I do, too.
Those are good-looking pups right there. Love them. Bark at the park. Look, I think that's a. She got a golden lab, a chocolate lab, a couple of golden retrievers, and then a couple of mixes that I'm not sure about.
All right, Arcan, can you guess what this Meg Splaining's going to be about?
At first, I thought that was Musburger talking about
someone about to get canceled.
Yeah, right. Talking about some quarterback's girlfriend
right there.
Wow, you want to be a quarterback? You can meet some puppies like that.
Get some puppies like that.
Sounds like something dog related.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was a little clip from Bark in the Park at, I think it was, I don't know if it's called Tiger Stadium. It's Comerica Park now, right? You used to be Tiger Stadium, now Comerica Park. Their Bark in the Park night where you can bring your dog. Mm-hmm. And I first want to congratulate.
Where does the dog sit?
On the seats.
The dog sits in the
seats? The dogs sit in the seats.
For what, like 2 seconds?
No, they sit in the seats like the good puppies they are.
Okay, all right.
Okay, first of all, I want to congratulate the dog people of Boston because we conquered Boston restaurants and bars, and we got our dog patios officially this week. Patios are starting to roll out the availability for dogs to hang out at bars and restaurants, and so I say now is not the time to rest on our laurels. Now is to go after the next project. And our next project is it's time to bring back Bark in the Park to Fenway Park. Emerson Lazia. Do you know Emerson?
I met him once, but I don't like
him. So Emerson Lazia, previously
I didn't know that's how you pronounce his last name, actually.
Now,
I always wondered that.
Yeah, now he's with DraftKings.
I thought it was like Esteban Loaiza. Lazia? Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
So he tweeted this out a couple days ago, said it's been 7 years since Fenway Park had Bark in the Park, where you can bring your dogs to Fenway
Park. I don't ever remember Bark in the Park here.
I guess they held it seven years ago. I'm going by Emerson. I didn't have a dog 7 years ago, so I wasn't looking at going to the park on Bark in the Park days. But here are the other teams that have dog-friendly baseball games. The San Diego Padres, this is this year. Mm-hmm. San Diego Padres, the Seattle Mariners, the New York Mets, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Nats, the Royals, the Tampa Bay Rays, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago White Sox, the Arizona Diamondbacks, Cincinnati Reds, and then it starts to repeat a little
bit. You say the Rays have one?
Yeah.
That's pretty sad. You get this like
because of the gross
two-thirds empty ballpark.
I was say, what are they putting? They're not putting people
oh
there.
God,
might as well put
sad.
Dumb dogs in there.
That's improving the crowd. What are you talking about?
It's dogs and a bunch of empty seats.
Like, oh my God, that's a dream. I walk in, and instead of it just being empty seats, it's people with their dogs.
I know, but it's still a lot of empty seats, I guess. It's still the point. Like, all the dogs.
Would you rather have there be more empty seats or seats with dogs in them?
It's not that there's seats with dogs in them. It's fine that there's seats with dogs in them. It's just that no one goes to Rays games anyway. Sorry, Rays fans out there.
Or Tigers games or Royals games or Pirates games.
Right, so you have
any other teams.
A sparsely populated, you know, Tropicana field with, like, 12 dogs in it, I just feel like sounds sad. Like, that sounds sad to me.
Well, it wouldn't be the case at Fenway. Uh-huh. At Fenway, you would be shoulder to shoulder, maybe with a golden retriever, maybe if you're lucky with a Siberian husky. And I wonder, because I am a dog person, and even if I went to the park and I didn't bring my dog, if there were other dogs there, I would be delighted. Mm-hmm. Assuming that people bring dogs that are at least semi-well-behaved, how would you feel?
Well, then you can't bring your dog.
My dog is very well behaved.
Oh, really?
Yes. She's. What are you talking about? You love my dog.
I do love your dog.
I don't know why you always make this like such a bit that you hate my dog.
I like your dog. I didn't say I didn't like your dog.
Because you said all.
I just said your dog's not very well behaved. That's
my dog is
things.
Well behaved.
Evidence points to the contrary.
She had
that's
one.
True. Ryan, where can we get a ruling on that?
Yeah.
She had one moment of weakness. Ryan, you know she's well-behaved. She sat through a four-hour show before.
See, now you're just telling on yourself.
Why?
Good-looking pups right there.
She's a husky.
You see that lovely lady there?
I hear no difference.
They don't listen to people. Yeah, I know. Musburger talking about the puppies there. I feel bad for the workers at Fenway. I mean, I know it's no fun to clean up after a bunch of drunks, but cleaning up after a bunch of drunks and their dogs, that's got to be no fun.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a point I hadn't totally considered. But what if they have one area that's like, you know how at airports they have the pet, I don't know, it's like the pet waste area?
I suppose.
Like it's like a pee pad area. Like you just have a little area of, not on the field, like over in one of the hallways and you
yeah,
have a little.
Yeah, but the dog's not going to know to go turf. There, you know? Like if the dog has to go, the dog's just going
to go.
The
dog knows if you walk it over and you say time to go business here.
You think?
Yes.
They're going to know to go in some random pad outside the feminine
yeah,
concourse?
Especially,
like that's,
you know what dogs love? When they walk around an area and it smells like other dogs
your dog
pee,
likes peeing on the rug, so.
Other dogs pee, they're like, this is where I pee.
Right.
I'm trying to cover the other dog's scent. This is my territory.
I think those dogs are going to get to the seats and they're going to be smelling all sorts of stuff and they're going to be marking territory like you wouldn't.
No.
That's what's going to
happen. They're not going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's time to bring back Bark in
especially
the
if it's a bunch of huskies.
Especially if we get the news about Chris Sale's MRI and it comes back that he's on the IL for several weeks. You're going to need something to get butts in seats. And I think in the city of Boston, which is now more openly embracing our dog people, that you should be able to bring your dog back to Fenway Park.
You can't go baseball games are as short as they've ever been. You can't go 2.5 hours without your dog sitting there next to you. And do you got to pay for a ticket? Like, does the dog get
yeah,
in free?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
Red
no,
Sox
no.
are not going for
the
that.
Dog.
Red Sox are.
You have to pay. Oh my God. You have to pay
you
for
have
any
to pay.
Space in Fenway Park. So yeah, you pay for the dog.
You better have to
about?
Pay. That Yoshida yeah, contract isn't going to pay for itself.
I'm not asking Fenway to let dogs in for free. I understand. Like, this is also a money-making scheme. But
the problem with the dogs, they don't buy any beers.
It's not the issue that I can't leave my dog for a couple hours. It's that I know my dog will like it. And so I want my dog to have the enjoyment. Same thing as, like, when I go to an outdoor bar. I went to an outdoor bar in Maine last weekend. I brought my dog. You know what? One of the bartenders walked over and said, oh, my God, I didn't even know she was here. She's so quiet. She's so good.
I don't believe that story happened. Your dog doesn't care about a baseball game, doesn't care about an outdoor bar. It's there because you're there, and it's going
yeah,
to have enjoyment.
Yeah, she cares about me. She wants to be with me.
But
she follows me into the bathroom sometimes.
My cat does that, too. I also don't appreciate it. I just, it's
do you want cats
well,
in the park?
Well, you leave the door
no,
open.
No, I don't want, I want.
Yeah, you go, psst, psst.
Fans, baseball people, go and watch the game. You know what would be a great place to have the Bark in the Park? In the parking lot. Bark in the parking lot. That's
what?
Even
there's
better.
There's no parking lot. What, you're going to go to the parking lot at
yeah,
Fenway Park?
Go mingle with the other dog people. And then when, okay, time to say goodbye to the dogs, all the people are going in to watch baseball.
I don't understand why.
You can live a couple hours without your dog is all
I know
I'm saying.
I can. I'm just saying this is a good idea. I think it's time to take the next step
I think
in
it's a terrible
incorporating
idea.
Our dog-friendly city. And give us the dog ticket.
I think for one inning, they should let the dogs go on the field.
Just I want to move to a dog
run
unfriendly
wild.
City.
Yeah. And have everyone? The players play around the dogs. I mean, a dog might get hit by a line drive. That would be a. That would
oh,
be
that's disgusting, Archie.
Well, you don't aim you for them. You're not aiming for the dogs. It's just I thought that would
maybe
be
a dog. You should have said maybe a dog will jump up and make the.
And make a catch.
Make the catch that Jaron Duran couldn't make last
that's
night.
That's like now. Savannah Banana type stuff.
Well,
right?
They already
yeah.
have
I'm
some of
that.
These
yeah.
minor league parks. They have dogs
maybe
as
you
the Bat Boys.
Maybe you find a dog that can play shortstop, and then suddenly you're in an Air Bud situation, and you solve the Kike Hernandez problem.
Now we got dogs taking jobs away from hardworking Americans. My God, what has this country turned
that's
into?
Right. And also, yeah, there you go. All right, that's Meg explaining. Mego wants dogs back in the ballpark. I want them on the field. Rob Bradford's here. I think I see him
home.
Outside. Is that Bradfo out there?
Yeah, Bradfo's out
some
there.
Some other creep just lurking outside our studio. I'm not sure.
Has Bradfo been messing with our cameras? We
maybe
it
was him.
Rob Bradford.
He might be the saboteur. All right, we'll talk with Bradfo next as we reset on the Red Sox. We've got some Chris Sale news for you as well. It's all coming up in the final hour next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.